So we are in the middle of a series. What difference does it make? Believing is important. It is an essential step of our foundation. If believing doesn't lead to action, if change does not follow belief, if we are not influenced and shaped by what we claim we believe, then what good are our beliefs? We believe, but what difference does it make? Core subjects of our belief should produce core actions. Now, today's message really is the backbone of the whole angle that this series takes. Is a belief that doesn't result in action, is it really a belief to begin with if it doesn't have action to go with it? James says that a belief that is not accompanied by works is dead. It's like the body without a spirit. It's just lifeless. I believe a faith without works is dead. What difference does it make? Though we'll be looking at a number of different scriptures today, our main flow is coming out of James chapter 2. So if you want to go on and turn there, we will have the verses up on the screen. But James chapter 2, starting with verse 14, James says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead." Let's go and write this down. How can we show the love of God without actions? How can we show the love of God without deeds? Our belief and our faith alone, that's not going to do anything to care for people. We have belief, great. You have faith, great. But if that's not accompanied by action, then no one's going to get cared for just by your belief, just by your faith. Your belief in the gospel does not put food in the pantry of a family's house that needs food. Your faith alone does not help someone in this struggle with addiction. Jesus didn't pass by people in need and just talk about how good God is and about how faithful he is and about how much he believes. No, in fact, it's very silly for us to even think, to even imagine Jesus acting that way. When Jesus saw someone in need, what did he do? He acted. He cared for them. He had faith that had action. That's how Jesus lived. He loved with actions. Let's write this down. It is through actions of faith that we care for people in need. In Matthew 25, Jesus shares with us a picture of what judgment day will look like. He says that the king will separate the people of all nations, just like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he'll turn to the sheep and he'll say, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Receive your inheritance, which was prepared for you since the beginning of the world, since the creation. Because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was in need of a visit and you came to visit me. I was without clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in jail and you came to see me." And the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you in need of a visit and come to visit you? When did we see you in need of clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and look after you? When did we see you in prison and come to visit you?" And Jesus tells them, "Whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." And then he turns to those on his left, the goats. He says, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, because I was without food and you did nothing. I was thirsty and you did nothing. I was alone and you did nothing. I was without clothes and you did nothing. I was sick and in prison and you did nothing. And they will reply, Lord, when did we see you? Hungry or thirsty or alone or without clothes or sick or in prison. And he will say to them also, what you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. See, Jesus is telling his listeners that this is the criteria that our faith will be judged on. Now, I want to be clear. We have salvation through faith because of grace. We don't earn our salvation. Our salvation is not based on works. However, a big however, if you have a faith that has saved you, it will produce actions. And if there are not actions attached to it, then has that faith really saved you? Let me remind you what James says at the very, very beginning of this section. Jim, I'm going to skip to the James passage. We'll go back and catch the John passage in a minute. James 2:14, he says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? I don't know if you caught that when I read it earlier. That's one of those things that as you're reading and you're really kind of dissecting, that jumps out at you. Can such faith save them? James connects this. It's a salvation issue for James. And then you look at James and you think, well, James, you're taking it a little hard. No, he's not. He's just doing what Jesus said. He's just taking it exactly the way Jesus said. As this picture in Matthew 25, James sees it as a salvation issue because Jesus saw it as a salvation issue. You have faith? Good. Show me your faith by your deeds. And if you have a deedless faith, then how can that faith save you? It's going back to that first John passage. See, genuine faith will have genuine deeds attached to it. That's what Jesus expects. Jesus expects us to care for other people, and it only happens through actions. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words, but with speech, or speech, but with actions and in truth. I believe a faith without works is dead. What difference does it make? Church, it should make a huge difference in how we love others with action and in truth, not just with speech, not just with words. God's love is not seen through our faith if our faith is not seen. God's compassion is not seen through our belief if we're not acting on that compassion with action and caring for people. The sheep who acted on their belief. Jesus is like, this is the picture. This is what it looks like. You have sheep and you have goats. The sheep who acted on their belief. These guys were moved by their faith to action. And then you have these other guys. And Jesus could not be more clear when Jesus says to those who did nothing. It's one of the clearest descriptions that we have. He says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The righteous went away to eternal life, but those who did nothing to eternal punishment. So James is perfectly in line with Jesus to say that if you claim you have faith, but you have no actions to accompany it, then what kind of faith then how can that kind of faith produce salvation? Let's write this down. Our deeds are evidence of our faith. Our works, our deeds, the things that we do, they're evidence of our faith. In Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, as some call it, Hebrews 11 is just a series of just person after person in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that lived by faith. Was Abel considered faithful in this list just because he talked about how much he believed in God? Yes, no? You guys awake? Was Abel considered faithful because of how much he talked about how he believed in God? No. Abel was shown as a man of faith because his actions were evidence of his faith. He brought a better sacrifice to God than his brother Cain did. His actions were evidence of his faith. What about Noah? When God came to Noah and he told him about this catastrophic flood that was on the way, did Noah then just kind of cross his legs and sit down and close his eyes and just, you know, God's going to take care of me. God's going to save me. I'm just going to have faith. I'm going to believe. No. He got his butt busy and he built an enormous ark with the materials and the dimensions that God had given him. He took action, and that's why he's in this list of men of faith, men and women of faith. His action was evidence of his faith. What about Abraham? Abraham had his first son with his wife Sarah at the age of 100. And God had told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And I want to give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And he had one son through his wife, Sarah. And then God went to test his faith. And this is a really confusing story if you just read like the first half of it. It just seems really bizarre because God says, here's what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice your only son. And if we read the whole story, those of us who are familiar with the whole story, we know it was a test of faith. But what's really disturbing as a father, it's Mother's Day, but as a father, is Abraham was going to do it. He took his son, he bound him up, he put him on an altar made of wood. And he drew the knife back. And it was at that moment that God stopped him. He was this close, not just in belief and in faith. God could have said all day long, do you believe me? Do you have faith in me? But what did he do? He said, show me. The evidence of your faith is in your actions. And as he has the knife up, God says, no, I see your faith is real now. There's a ram in the thicket that I provided as a sacrifice instead. Abraham was understood as faithful because his actions stood as evidence. Moses, and you talk about a man of action. Just one event after another. And there's one particular part of all those stories that I always find entertaining. As a leader, I look at it and I'm like, man, that says a lot in such a small amount of space there. And it's when Moses had led them down to the edge of the Red Sea. And Pharaoh's army is pressing against them, and they're on their way, and they see them coming. And Moses gives this great speech of faith, of belief. God is not going to let harm come to us. Why would he rescue us to let us get destroyed? Everything's going to be all right. All we have to do is be still and believe, and God won't let any harm come to us. God will rescue us. We will see God's rescuing hand. Just be still and believe. And I love God's next statement. I'm just going to read it straight from Scripture. He says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to get moving. Move on. Don't stop and be still. Stupid, move. Take the staff I gave you. You've seen the power it has. Stretch it out over the water so the Israelites can walk across. I told you I was going to read this. Raise your staff and stretch your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. What's with all the talking? What's with all the faith speech? Do something. Act. Move. Moses' faith was put into action, and his action was evidence of the faith. Even the faith of a prostitute is listed in this famous hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Rahab was a prostitute in Jericho, and she hid the Israelite spies because she believed in the power of their God. She wasn't even part of the chosen people. And yet, she's included in this list, and her actions are spoken of as evidence of her faith in God. Our deeds are evidence of our faith. How can we show faith is more than belief without deeds? Let's write that down. How can we show that belief, that our faith is more than belief without deeds? See, there's a difference between a statement of belief that recognizes a truth and a lifestyle that displays allegiance and dedication. Let me say that again. Let that sink in. There's a difference between a statement of belief that recognizes a truth and a lifestyle that displays allegiance and dedication. James says that even demons believe in God and shudder. What makes our belief any different than the demons? It's how we use it. It's our actions. Demons believe in God, but you don't see them doing actions that serve and worship and honor God, do you? Quite the opposite. Demons believe in God. We believe in God. What makes a difference? What makes a difference is how we apply it, how we act on it, how we bring honor to God through our belief, the actions that we bring. How can we show our faith is more than belief without deeds? James says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. We'll split this up. You can get busy and I'll just believe. James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? James says that faith without deeds is useless. That's strong language. James has already connected it to salvation. You have faith without deeds. How can that kind of faith save you? And now he says you have faith without deeds. Well, that's useless. What good is that? How can we show faith is more than belief without deeds? A faith without deeds is useless. Let's write this down. How can we practice Jesus' teachings? How can we practice Jesus' teachings without deeds? How can that be done? It's one thing to say that you believe in Jesus' teachings. It's another thing to actually live it. It's one thing to be able to quote Jesus' great instructions and commands. But how can you practice those teachings that you've studied? How can you put into practice those teachings that you've learned if it's not without deeds? If it's not without works, how do you practice the teachings of Jesus without action? It can't be done. It's impossible. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus states that a wise person will put his words into practice. A wise person will put his words into practice. And he shares a parable, an illustration of how everyone who hears his words and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Nothing could shake that house. It's like the third little pig's house. You can huff and you can puff. Life can huff and puff. And life can do everything in its power. Storms and difficult times and tragedies and unexpected things and accidents. shocking experiences, plot twists in your life. And whatever life throws at you, Jesus says that this man is a wise man. He builds his house on a rock and it will not be moved. Church, connect the context to this. Jesus is very clear. He does not say, people who believe in my teachings, people who have faith in my teachings, will experience this rock-like life. And what does he say? People who put my practice, or put into practice my teachings. People who hear what I say, he's very clear. People who hear what I say and put them into practice. It's not just someone who believes. It's not just someone who agrees with the moral code of Jesus' teachings. It's not just someone who sees the logic and the insight. No, that's not enough. It's someone who hears his words and puts them into practice. I believe that faith without deeds is dead. What difference does it make? It should make a huge difference in how we live. Not just how we love other people, but in our lifestyle and what we benefit from as individuals in our faith in God. It should make a huge difference because we put into practice the words of Jesus and then we experience this rock-like life. We'll experience that not only for our future, the security that we have in eternal life, but we will experience it now through life's troubles and life's struggles. Just listening to Jesus' words is not enough. Just believing in Jesus is not enough. Just having faith in Jesus is not enough. It's hearing it and putting it into practice. That's where Jesus says we're going to connect with this. Belief and deeds, faith and works, the two together. It is through action that we see personal results. It is through action that we see personal results from Jesus' teachings. And a fool will not. Jesus describes the fool as a person who hears the words, who hears his teachings, and does not put them into practice. Let me read that for you, Matthew 7. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Life huffed and puffed, and it fell with a great crash. See, you can't expect to see results from Jesus' teachings just by believing in them. You get no advantage to your life until you put them into practice. You can't say, well, I believe in Jesus' teachings and they didn't do anything for me. My life's a wreck. Storms came up. My everything crashed. It's because belief is not enough. You have to believe and put them into practice, and that's when you build your house on the rock. I think a lot of people get very discouraged because they've had faith or they've had belief because they've heard the teachings of Jesus. And they thought that was enough. God, I believed you. I had faith in you. Where were you? What did you do? And sometimes we need to hear him say back to us, what did you do? How did you act on what you believed? Because if you didn't act on it, there's nothing that can happen from it. If you just sat there, you just stood there, it's like Moses at the edge of the Red Sea. Move on. Hold the staff out. Part this. Do something. Don't just say you have faith. Act in faith. Jesus says, those who put my words into practice, that's the wise man. It's not just those who come to church and hear it. Ouch. It's not just those who have a daily devotion and you're in the Word every day and you're righteous in your own belief because of the time you spend in God's Word. And that's good. The dedication, But what good is it if you're not putting it into practice? Jesus himself says, you're a fool if you just hear my words and you don't put them into practice. You're like a man who built his house on the sand. Jesus' teachings just haven't done a lot for me. Have you put them into practice? Have you tried them? Have you tested them? Because that's when you see results. That's when you see the power of Jesus' words alive in your life. You know, I do a lot of premarital classes with couples that I'm going to do weddings for. And in my years here, I've had numerous couples come through my office. I figured it up at one time, but I think I average about 3 or 4 a year. And so after 13 years, that kind of adds up a little bit. And I get couples that are from church, that have been raised here, and I saw them baptized when they were younger, and then you know they're now adults and they're getting married. And I have people that come completely strangers off the street. They like our church, they think it's a pretty church, and they want to get married here. And in any of those situations and all the situations in between, I take them through classes that I've developed that are just straight out of God's word. Here's what God's word says about conflict and how to handle conflict. Here's what God's word says about the roles of a husband and a wife in marriage. That God designed marriage, he made marriage, and this is what, and these things are becoming ever so unpopular nowadays. And I find myself defending more and more, listen, this is countercultural. But it's real and it's true. And I tell them, what's the harm in trying it? What's the harm in testing God's word? What's the harm in just giving it a shot? What are you to lose? A little bit of pride, some humility, that's always good for you. And a lot of times through those classes, I have couples who have been outside Christ come into Christ because they see that God's word is real and it makes sense in other places. And I let them know in those sessions, I tell them just personal testimony. In my life, when I do what God's word says, I see great results. Not always comfortable. It doesn't lead me to an easy life, but the big picture is always great results when I follow God's word. And you know what happens when I'm not following God's word? I'm going on my own wisdom, on my own movement, my own decisions, my own... Things don't always work out so great. And through patterns of seeing both of those, and those being very evident, and seeing what it looks like to build a house on sand, and seeing what it looks like to build a house on the rock, it's very easy to give a testimony to any one of those couples that are in my office. Just try what God's word says. Just try one thing in there. See how it works out. And when you see evidence from that, when you put his teachings into practice, and you see how that gives you stability and security, and it brings focus, then try another thing. Find something else and try that. And see how that goes for you. You don't try it all at one time. Then try a third thing and just keep applying these things and watch and see. See, it's through action that we see personal results from Jesus' teaching. Sand and rock. The difference between faith only and faith combined with practice. I believe a faith without works is dead. What difference does it make? James finishes this passage with two examples that match up perfectly with examples that are given in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. I've already mentioned these, but let's read them straight from James and see what angle he looks at them through. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scriptures, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You know, man, there's some preaching that can go on there, but I'll just let that hit you. He was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way was not even Rahab. He goes from Abraham all the way over to Rahab. Was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let's write this down. How can we have a God-honoring faith without deeds? How can that happen? Both Abraham and Rahab were considered righteous because of their faith-based actions. How can we live a life that brings honor to God if we're not living out our faith with actions? How can we claim faith in God and honor Him with our faith if our faith is void of deeds? If we have no work to go alongside our faith, it just doesn't work that way. It's never the way God had intended it. Old Testament through the New Testament to today, Jesus was consistent with God. The Holy Spirit is consistent with us. Deeds bring our faith to life. Our faith is animated through our deeds. James says that just as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. If your faith has no action to accompany it, then you're just a corpse. That's what James says, isn't it? Faith without deeds is like the body without the spirit. You have a shell of something that could be really, really, really great. But it's not. It's just dead. It's just a corpse. It's lifeless. You cannot divorce faith and deeds. It doesn't work. The two are inseparable. You don't have one without the other. I believe a faith without works is dead. And I hope you believe that from James, from God's word, from the Holy Spirit speaking it a couple thousand years ago and the Holy Spirit reiterating it this morning. I hope you believe that, and I hope it makes a difference for how you live, because deeds make a difference. It is through deeds that we show the love of God to others. It is through actions of faith that we care for people in need. Our deeds are evidence of our faith. It is through our deeds that we show that our faith is more than just a belief, that it means something to us. It is through deeds that we practice the teachings of Jesus. Wise people will put Jesus' words into practice, and they will see personal results through their faith in action. It is through deeds that we can have a God-honoring faith, a faith that is brought to life, animated, a faith that makes a difference, because deeds make a difference. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for James making very clear what Jesus had shared, what you had brought light to throughout the whole Old Testament. That even people in the early church, so much that James needed to write this, were in the same boat as many of us here today. Father, that we have faith, that we have belief, but sometimes that's not accompanied with deeds. And that doesn't work. Father, we repent. I hope I speak for everyone here, because we can all do better. We can all have more actions to accompany our faith, deeds to accompany our belief. Father, forgive us for the times that we just sit still and believe and just do nothing to bring evidence to our faith. When we see people who are in need and we don't care for them, forgive us for that deedless faith. That when we have opportunities to bring honor to you in our life through an action, that we don't. And yet we claim to believe in you. We claim to follow you. We claim that you are our Father and we're your children. And we let moments slip by where we could bring honor to you. Father, help us to believe and act, to have faith and deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.